Of course, we're talking about being psalmish and finding these psalms, the whole gamut of human emotions. And I know that we want to standardize everything so everybody feels the exact same level of even emotions. But of course, in psalms are finding that's not the human experience, and it's normal. And one of our messages was being slightly bipolar, if you want to be psalmish. And today, maybe also make you think it sounds like you're going to be supposed to be crazy in today's lesson, and because it's a little bit different than probably anything you ever heard. But Psalms 42. It says, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, and of the hill Milzar. Deep calleth in a deep with the noise of thy water spouts, and all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemy reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let's pray, and we'll talk about this psalm and some others. Father, it's a wonder your word is. It's so deep, so profound, the mind of God. It's a wonder that a human could ever try to proclaim it and explain it and understand it, because it's the message from heaven and so deep. And words aren't always complicated, long words, difficult words. But Lord, it's eternally profound and eternally deep, because it's your words. And Father, we can never grasp it all. But thank you for what we can grasp, and thank you for what you show us. It's clear. I pray tonight, Lord, we would love your word more, and we'd understand how we're supposed to be. Give us the mind of Christ, and help us tonight to be psalmish. In Jesus' name, amen. And tonight I want to talk about talking to yourself. Talking to yourself. Why you should talk to yourself. And all right, let's be honest about it. How many of you already talk to yourself? All right. How many talk back to yourself? Okay. And all right. So the Bible, if you want to be psalmish, you're going to talk to yourself. Because the psalm writers, they talk to themselves. And I think it's important to talk to yourself because the Bible talks about it. He questions his own soul three times. Chapter 42 and verse 5, it says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? And he tells her what to do. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. It says the same thing in verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him. Then 43 verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Three times he questions his soul and tells his soul what to do. He does that three different times just in this passage. And we'll turn to other spots where they're talking to themselves. And he also talks about to the Lord about what his soul is doing. Almost departs from himself and say, God, you know what my soul is doing? And so I think that's along the same line, chapter 42 and verse 6. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember thee from the land of Jordan. He says, my soul is cast down within me. And he's talking to God there. Talking to yourself in Bible, in the Bible, is pretty consistent. Usually, you're talking to your own soul. Now, I guess you could talk to your body, one more step, or suck it in, and or whatever, and you can talk to your body, but actually you'll find out you're actually talking to your soul, because your body is telling your soul what to do, or your soul is telling your body what to do. Your body by itself can't do anything. There's no soul in it; it's dead. But we, in a sense, you could say you're talking to your body, but you're usually talking to your soul. Our soul questioning our soul, and we see this in this chapter. Your soul is basically your mind, your intellect, and your will. That's your soul, your consciousness, and what you're listening to me and thinking with. That's your soul. That's what's in you, and that's your, we would call it almost mind, similar to a mind. Your consciousness, your ability to think, because you can say, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? You can talk to yourself, whatever your name is. Joel, what are you doing? Why are you depressed? Your life is blessed, or whatever. You can talk to it's usually your soul talking to your soul. In other words, you're finding a way that the same thing that needs to be talked to steps out and looks back at itself and says, what are you doing? Because that is what you do everything with and what you think with and how you communicate. And you've got to be able to look clearly at things. So why should we talk to ourselves? I've got a good amount of reasons here. I got 7 reasons we should talk to ourselves to be in order to be psalmist. Number one, because a process makes you choose to think and logic over emotions. The process of talking to yourself makes you think and logic above your emotions. In this chapter here, verse 6, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Notice he realizes, and this part I gotta get to you. You might have already caught it. If you don't catch this somewhere during the session, you might not catch it. It's going to be a little difficult. So the ability to say, okay, we're an emotion-driven society. That's a fault of our society. We are completely emotional-driven. When you're emotionally driven, all you can do is feel. And when you are overwhelmed with feel, when feel is this dominant thing, which it is in our society, if you don't believe me, just have conversations about people's decisions and ask them, don't use the word feel once. And you will have had, they'll have a very difficult time talking to you about their decisions. It's predominant. Feeling is so powerful, and there's nothing wrong with feelings, but they're not the controllers. Okay, but there's nothing wrong with them. They're an emotion. Emotions aren't what's supposed to control us at all. They do control us, and that takes a while to get the mind of Christ in that, because most people think that emotions are supposed to decide. I just follow my heart. That's foolish. The Bible says that's foolish. Okay, your hearts, your emotions are unreliable, and they vary with everything. So you're able to say, instead of just, all my vision is all I have is this telescope over one eye, and that's just emotion. And so all I see is this, because it's emotions. Okay? When that is like that, it rules your thinking. And what happens is your emotions tell you, this is what is right, and you have to do this because I have to have this, and this has to be satisfied, because you feel it so strongly. And your emotions will convince your mind that what you're doing is okay. And it'll convince you that this is whatever your emotions want, you will justify if you're emotionally led. If you're spiritual, you'll say, God led me, even though it was your emotions. If you're not spiritual, you'll say, I got to have it, and this is the best thing, and I deserve this, or whatever you use to justify what you do, because the emotions. A person who is able to step out and say, what are you doing? Emotions, you're running crazy. That right there is what's incredibly difficult. Have you ever been, maybe you didn't sleep right? If I drink too much caffeine, I'm this way, okay? If I oversleep, I'm this way. Where you know you're cranky, and yet everything legitimately seems like it is ridiculous and stupid and terrible and awful. And somebody says, you know, you're really grumpy today, and you say, I know I'm grumpy, but this is ridiculous. You walked in front of me. And because you're so emotionally driven, but sometimes you can step out and say, okay, you know what? I know I'm loony today, and I'm just going to shut up. You have to do that to yourself. If you don't ever do that, by the way, you should do it sometimes. Okay? You have to have self duct tape. And because you need to be able to go and say, Because everything you feel isn't right. There's a million feelings you get of, I want to kill him, I want to do this, I feel like saying this, and a lot of those things you shouldn't do. So the Bible says be slow to speak. Should I say this? Because, you know, there's a lot of things I feel like saying. There are things you feel like saying that probably you shouldn't say, and you don't, I hope. Either you say, boy, I'm glad I didn't say that 2 hours later. You say, oh, what am I going to do now? I can't take that back. Because you decide, because you step out and you look and say, I see you, emotions. I see you, and I'm watching you, and I'm observing what you're doing. Instead of only your prism is, I feel. That's all I see is what I feel. And you've got to do that. Because the process of talking to yourself makes you choose a think and logic over your emotion. Logically, everything will be okay, but I'm depressed. That's what he says in this verse. He says, you know what? I shouldn't be upset about this. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. He says, everything's going to be fine. God's going to bless me, and I'm going to come out fine in the end. But why am I depressed? And when you get to this point, and you really learn to control your emotions, and you understand, and you're thinking, and you're having emotions, and you've separated those two, you can say, you know what? I feel awful about this. I feel depressed. But you know what? It's going to be fine in the end somehow. You don't feel like it's going to be fine, but your logic and your faith says, okay, emotions, I know you're loony. You haven't slept enough. You've eaten too much junk food. You had too much sugar. You haven't slept enough. Okay? If you can logic with a child who's 2 years old who needs a nap. What are you doing? Everything's a war. And they're just everything getting more and more angry. You need a nap. I don't need a nap. I don't need a nap. And then you lay them in bed. And they go, I don't want to go to bed. I don't want to lay down. And then they wake up and they're all happy. If you get logic with that kid, you say, you know what? Don't you understand your emotions are going to be fine and you're going to thank me for this in 2 hours? But they're not logical yet. But you should be. Because you're an adult. And hopefully, or nearby, or an older teenager. And you should be able to separate yourself. It makes you logic and see those things. Emotions blind. Are blind to what they feel, but they're not always accurate. And you're driving to the road. Let's say you're driving to the road. And you feel like your car's kind of weaving in the back, and it doesn't feel right. And you say, you know, I feel like I have a flat tire. Okay? But you don't know you have a flat tire. So you can say, I feel like I have a flat tire. And you can go on that way. Or you can pull the car over and get around and walk around the car. And now I know I have a flat tire. Or you know what? That's kind of weird. I don't have a flat tire. Maybe I got a lot of weight in my trunk or something. But you felt something, but then you checked it out with other senses and with logic and observed things. And when you could say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And you're looking at yourself and talking to yourself and saying, why are you doing this? Joel, why are you so emotional about this thing? It doesn't make any sense. Why can't you be happy? You got a home in heaven. It makes you logic and it makes you go and override your emotions when you can separate and you don't just look through everything with emotions. Because emotions are incredibly inaccurate. Ask your 2-year-old when they haven't slept enough. Ask me when I've drunk too much caffeine. Ask some of you when you don't get your pill. Okay? Emotions rule and they mess you up. Emotions are to be controlled for God's glory. I'm going to choose, Jesus said, to be mad so I can walk in the temple and throw a fit and let him know how upset I am about my house. I'm going to choose to love this person. When you choose to control instead of them controlling you. Number 2, you can be honest with yourself. You know the truth. Why do you talk to yourself? Because you can be honest with yourself. Because you know the truth. Okay, I talk to myself and I say, Pastor Byram, and I say to myself, and I say, you know what? You are just too cranky all the time. Now, I'm not lying to myself. Okay? When I tell myself this, I know the truth about myself. My receiving end knows that it's the truth, and my speaking it knows the truth. And so there shouldn't be any conflict there or debate. If you have an argument with yourself and don't agree, you have issues. Okay? But you know the truth about yourself. He says, you know what? Why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you like this? You have hope in God. You get to know that. You know the truth. Take it a neat verse in Proverbs chapter 20. It's a very good verse about counsel. Chapter 20, verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like a deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. This is true in counseling, and it's true with your own self. Most of the time when you have a problem, you know the answer. The deal is, you might not know you know the answer. And somebody with understanding has to draw it out of you, or you have to stop and analyze yourself and say, what is the answer to this? Because when you're honest with yourself, you can't out-argue somebody that is not you. So my life's falling apart and is doing terrible. And the real reason behind it is my prayer life is terrible. Okay? So that's my situation. I'm living with that. I'm struggling with that. And I'm saying, I tried to figure my finances out. I had a plan and I had a budget and it fell to pieces. And my wife and I are getting along and I don't know why. And I'm having this problem with this and that. And okay, the answer is inside of me. And you know what? I ask a question sometimes to myself and other people that really makes a difference. And it really draws it out of ourselves. And I think sometimes that psychologists and counselors even do this. What is behind all this? Why is all this happening? I have no idea. Okay? If you had to guess, what would you think it would be? Okay? I ask myself, because I'm a blunt rubber hits the road thing, I've asked myself before, if an angel was standing in front of me with a flaming sword and said, tell me what's the problem here, I'm going to kill you, I'd say, it's this. Even though if you walk up and ask me, I'd say, I don't know why it is, but really, there's something inside of me that really knows what the real problem is. And when I talk to myself, I might say to myself, if I'm honest with myself, you know, you stinking bum, you haven't been praying, you haven't made time for Jesus, you haven't been praying, that's why this is happening to you. But it's much easier to play ignorant and say, I don't know why this is happening. And to not just talk to yourself and say, soul, why are you cast down? Hope in God. You're going to yet praise him. Because you know the truth. You know the real reason. You know, very few people know the reason when you... Marital counseling. You go in this room, I'll talk to you, you come in a minute. Okay, what's the problem? She did this, 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 she did this. You do anything? No. All right, you're going out. Come on in, honey. All right, good. All right, so, ma'am, tell me, what's the problem? He did this, he did this, he did this, he did this, he did this. You do anything? No. Okay. All right. So, that's amazing. Neither one of you did anything wrong, and both of you hate the other one. Okay, that's unusual. So, I go back. So, John, you said he didn't do anything wrong. I just need to find out every little detail. Maybe you forgot something. Is it true you haven't taken out the trash in 6 weeks? Well, yeah, but you didn't do the dishes. Okay. Is it true you do this? Well, yeah. Have you loved Jesus Christ of the church? Okay. Mary, is it true you haven't done the dishes in 8 weeks? Is it true you hit him with rolling pins? Well, yeah, but he deserves it. Okay, but you said he didn't do anything. And you know what? Is there anything you could do to fix your side of the marriage? Well, the truth is I really have been a grump, and I really, it's my walk with God. Counsel in the heart of man is deep down, but a man of understanding draws it out. And you yourself should do that. If you can't do it, then you go get counsel. But you should say, what's wrong? And you should talk to yourself and say, you know, you keep doing this because of this. And be honest with yourself. And tell yourself the truth about this. You know you just haven't been praying. You know it's because you haven't had a relationship with the Bible. You know it's because you cannot decide to control your temper, or you don't have the joy of Jesus, or whatever. You can tell yourself what no one else knows. The real reason I feel this way is because I was so wounded by so-and-so. And you don't want anybody to know that so-and-so hurt you. Okay, fine. But tell yourself that. The real reason you're doing this is because you got hurt by so-and-so and you're taking it out on everybody else. Why are you doing that? Tell yourself that. Tell yourself that. Be honest with yourself. Don't lie to yourself. And if you lie to yourself, don't believe yourself. Because if you're lying to yourself, and by the way, people lie to themselves all the time. What? Now, I'm a really logical person. Okay. If I lie to myself, I assume I know it's a lie. And so I shouldn't convince myself. Okay. You're 6'4", Joel. You're 6'4". Okay. If I'm lying to myself, I should know that. But you know how many people lie to themselves? The real reason I got divorced, I didn't do anything wrong in the whole marriage, he was just a jerk. Okay. Yeah, those guys just leave those wonderful, sweet, perfect women like crazy. Well, the real reason I do drugs, because my... No. Why do you lie to yourself? I've seen people backslide and justify their backsliding. Going against God. Just, you know the truth so you can tell yourself more than anybody else can. Everybody else doesn't know the deep, dark secrets, but you do. So tell yourself, hey, it's because of this. Knock it off. You know better. You can tell yourself the truth. Next, you don't get mad at yourself for telling yourself the truth. If you tell yourself the truth, it's pretty hard to get mad at yourself. You might get mad if I tell you the truth. You might get mad at the person sitting next to you tells you the truth. Okay? That's fine. But you can tell yourself the truth where you might get offended everybody else, but it's pretty hard to get offended yourself. What are you going to do? Liar! I mean, what are you going to do? I hate your guts. You always tell me bad things. Okay? You don't get as mad at yourself as somebody else. So tell yourself, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Next, you can be demanding. It's your will. Let's look at Psalm 62. Let's do some more Psalms here where they talk to themselves. Tell yourself to knock it off sometimes. Tell yourself you can do it. Tell yourself here's why you ought to do this. Convince yourself. Tell yourself. Psalm 62. Verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He's talking to himself. He's telling his soul, soul, wait only upon God. He's telling himself that. Why? My expectation is from him. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Because you can be honest with yourself, because you know the real truth, and because it makes you logic it out and tell yourself the truth about yourself, it really helps you when you tell yourself and straighten yourself out. And you draw out of you what's already inside of you. Psalm 103. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And so he goes forth and does this, and he explains that. He's demanding that he does something. Psalm 116, we'll get back to Psalm 103 in a moment. Psalm 116, and verse 7, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. You can be demanding. Why? It's your own soul. You can tell it what to do. I have no real authority over you, except for influence. I don't think I have any real authority over my wife. If she wants to disobey me, she can. I have some authority over my kids. I can whoop them. Okay? But they can still rebel and not in their heart, want to be right and everything like that. But with my own soul, I can go and demand you knock that off. Or you go praise the Lord. God's been good to you, Joel. Quit griping. Go praise God. Where I can't do that to somebody necessarily all the time. I mean, I don't have a problem being blunt with myself. I know my weaknesses. I know my faults. There's lots of them. I can say, knock it off, Joel. You're being a wimp. You're being foolish and you're treating God wrong. God doesn't deserve that. How dare you? God's blessed you so much. But I walk up to Matthew and said, you're being a stinking bum. Why are you treating Jesus like that? Well, He might never come back to church. Matter of fact, let's do it. No, but if we could poor guy, and we could do that. But if I do that, if I'm rough on myself, I'm not rough on myself in the weird way. Oh, you're so worthless. Oh, you're so pathetic. Oh, you can't do anything right. I'm not roughing myself in that way. I know that I'm accepted and beloved. I rough myself as I expect a lot of myself. And I get on my case and say, get up and go do that. Knock it off. Quick. Why? Because I don't get offended at myself. And because my body sometimes doesn't want to do something that God needs it to do. And my flesh sometimes doesn't want to do something God needs it to do. And sometimes I just do pathetic things. And I know better and I'm better than that. I say, knock it off. Get up and go do what God wants you to do. Quit giving into that thing. Talk to yourself. You can demand, because it's your own will. Next, because you know what the best arguments for you are. Psalm 103. You know the best arguments. You know what motivates you the most. I know what makes me, and we're not all wired the same. You might tell yourself, it's your duty to do this thing. And that motivates you. You might say, think of the cross. He deserves more than that. It might be, look at your children. What are your children going to turn out like if you do this thing? It might be, you know what? You've ruined your life 10 times. Think of the future, what it's going to end up like. You know the best arguments for yourself. And we all are motivated a little bit differently. All of us should be motivated by love for God and the glory of God and souls and all that stuff. But at a certain time in your life, there might be different motivations. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Watch this. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Notice he's listing all that God does for him, for his soul. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He's telling him, his soul, bless God, look what he's done for you. And you might say, I should have died. And you might say, he restored my health. You might say, he saved me from hell. You might say, he provided my needs, or he delivered me from a terrible family situation, or whatever he did for you. Whatever motivates you the most, you should tell your soul, hey, remember what Jesus did for you? Remember how good God's been to you? How can you do this to him? You tell your soul your best arguments. You talk to yourself. You say, Jesus deserves better than this. What's going to be the impact if you do this? Get on your own case. Get on your own case. Tell yourself why you should do right. And I think that's a good thing. They write it here in Psalm 103, of course, we see this. Next, don't talk yourself into doing wrong. Luke chapter 12. You know who does this the most? People who are very good at sales. This is the humor of my little mind. The same thing that humors me that people lie to themselves is very funny to me. But some people sell themselves. That's illogical to me also. But people who are manipulators sell themselves on doing things. Drug addicts do it all the time to themselves. When they're about to do the drugs, they have had a conversation and promoted it and talked themselves into it and sold themselves to go do it. People did all kinds of things. And people who are very good at influencing people, that's why the most best soul winners many times fall because they talk themselves into doing wrong because they're so good at talking people into doing things and good salespeople and good business people. Luke chapter 12 and verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul? This is a wealthy, a good businessman. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. By the way, Joel, you need to do this.
I do?
Yes, it'd be the best thing you ever did.
It will?
Yes, it's going to be awesome, and you should really do it. It'd be the best thing in the world. Okay, you sold me. That isn't logical to me. But people do that. Yep. Okay, you ready? People do it. This is the number one problem in finances. They sell themselves, so they got to have it. And they deserve it. and they've earned it. You've earned that credit card. And that's what they do. And they tell themselves that. And by the way, they go to the mall and they weren't going to buy anything, or they're going to buy one thing. But boy, they talk themselves into a whole bunch of things. Don't talk yourself into doing wrong. That is not what you talk yourself into. You should not do that. Don't talk yourself into doing wrong. Sold, that was in this story, the man laid up his goods, got lazy, and he died that night, and none of his goods came to him. And don't talk yourself into doing wrong, which he did. Next and last, it helps you to make yourself see the big picture. When you talk to yourself and when you analyze yourself, it helps you to see the big picture. Proverbs chapter 30. I can't quite tell if you are very subdued tonight, very tired, or you think this is very funny and you're chuckling quietly, or you don't get it. But this is very funny. Psalm chapter 30, or Proverbs chapter 30. You say, what's wrong with selling yourself on something? I lie to myself all the time and I believe myself. Okay, then, well, then it's not funny for you. It's very sad. Proverbs chapter 30. By the way, you ever met somebody who's a very bad person who sold themselves they're a very good person and always tells themselves they're a good person? Okay? They lie to themselves. Proverbs chapter 30. Watch a person who understands his faults and weaknesses and chooses the big picture because he can set himself aside and see the reality of things instead of the emotion of things. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8. Remove from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Do you see how a man was able to separate from himself and see the way he really was? And say, God, don't give me too much food and don't give me too little food, because I would probably do this or I'd probably do that. And that's a person able to set themselves aside and say, you know what, you have some weaknesses here. And if you can separate yourself, and if you can get yourself to logic and tell yourself, what are you doing? Because here's the truth. You know what you should be doing. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You know what you mess up on. You know your faults and weaknesses. And if you'll be honest and tell yourself, you cannot have that in your home. Amen. If you can tell yourself that, you won't sell yourself on that. You can't handle that. And the sad thing is, so few people are able to step out and see themselves as they really are and take a good look at themselves and tell themselves no, because the emotions are ruling, that they spend most of their time repeating the same faults because they say, no, you can do it. Yes, I can do it. I want this. I want this. I want this. I want this. I see this. I got to have it. And the emotions are ruling in their life instead of telling themselves no. You know what you need to do, I bet. If I said tonight, all right, if tonight you can tell me the exact problem, the one thing that messes up your life, and the one thing you need to fix, and God said we all get a free pass, he's gonna transform us in one area, pick your area, I bet you'd have an area to pick out. Okay? Because you know. So go get on yourself. And when you go back and you're about to do it again, you say, you, what are you doing? You know how this is going to end up. You know you're not going to be close to God. You know you're going to have God's blessing. You know it's going to hurt. You know it's going to cost. So you know what? There's nothing wrong with talking to yourself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Why art thou disquieted, O my soul? Hope thou in God. Tell yourself you're going to finish this. You're not quitting. You're going to do right on this. You're not going to gossip. You know what's wrong? You quit gossiping. You, every time you gossip, you hurt somebody. You're hurting the cause of Christ. You just tell yourself. Get in your case. Let the soul that's yielded to God tell the soul that's yielded to the flesh, no, enough of this. And when you talk to yourself, because you know the truth, and because you can logic and see the truth of things, because you stepped aside and aren't just seeing only through the prism of I want, I want, I want, you suddenly can tell yourself, do this, and be honest with yourself and reveal what should be done. And when you're honest about things, things get fixed a lot easier. But you got to not talk yourself into wrong, but talk yourself into right. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. I pray we wouldn't lie to ourselves. I pray we'd tell ourselves what to do. I pray we'd step aside and be able to see ourselves. I pray that we would not just feel something, but step out and look and check it out. And I pray we would bring ourselves in line. I pray we tell ourselves the real answer and tell ourselves the real motivation and argue with a good argument of why we should do what's right. Please help us, Lord, to be able to do this and talk to ourselves. Even to just sit down and say, God's been so good to you. You ought to praise him right now. Lord, please help us to be conscious. Animals don't have the consciousness that we have. We're blessed, Lord. And please help us. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.